Hello, everyone. A little louder. There you go. Now you may be seated. Well, I tell you, I think of that last article he read about the shopping carts. Wow. You see these people going down through there pushing those carts, and then they reach over and get an apple that you wanted, and then they put it back for you. We don't have that problem here. Everything is koshered here. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I think Satan is mad as an old wet hen because with a bunch of chickens, she knows that she can't win this last battle, and that she knows that you're coming out of this world more and more each day. Apparently the number is increasing of those that wanting to come to the feast. Now there's a lot of people being denied, but we're praying as Moshe did for Yahweh to open the doors and let them come. But there's thousands of them waiting to come to the house, trying to get visas. Information that was handed me here, I can't read it all, but this is from February 1st to March 4th. Now these are lookers, of course, in that length of time. Just since that length of time, 10,016,509. So we are reaching these countries. Over 2,500 of them have requested literature. Now, a lot of these people are getting it online, but these are requesting literature of some kind, whether it's feast applications or what, they're requesting something. Over 17,000 we know of over 17,000 that have read these online. There's only 17 countries. The last week is 35, I believe I said. This week, we've cut that down to only 17 countries now. Praise Yahweh. You can become a part of Yahweh's last day's work if you choose, but you've got to choose. And then you've got to choose to endure and stay with it. And that's the hard part, is the overcoming. It's not hard if you just humble yourself, you know, but the problem is we carry our pride with us, and it's hard to, there used to be a song, "It's hard to be humble when you're so perfect." I can't remember the guy that wrote that now, but he's probably dead by now anyway. But he thought this is the attitude, you know, of everybody. They think they're so perfect that it's and you know, they're just a gift to mankind. Today we have a perfect meal. Now it's you know, if it's a lot of trouble, and I first said I want this for the feast, but when they went to telling me, you know, how this is made, and you have to have some big pots, and you have to stir it, you know. And I said, well, you know, you could probably let the men stir that for a couple of minutes. And they said, no, it takes about 2 hours. I said, I don't think we got men that's that strong, you know. I'd like to ask everyone to be on time, be rejoicing. That's your job each Sabbath. That's what Yahweh commands you to do. That's what Yahshua did. In spite of all of his persecution and hatred, he rejoiced, and he went out helping people who turned against him, actually hated him. But that's what he did, and that's what I'm trying to do, and I hope you'll try to do the same thing. Be on time, rejoicing at Yahweh's Sabbath. You're commanded to do that. You're commanded to do that as much as you're commanded to come to the Sabbath. You're commanded to rejoice before Yahweh and in Yahweh. Be on time rejoicing. Thank Yahweh for the knowledge. Get up of a morning thanking Yahweh for his house and coming out of the world and pulling you out of the world. If you think about these shopping carts, you can see what the filthy mess the gods are in. And these are the gods that the people are following. It's hard to understand this, but when Yahweh tells you to come out and don't do something and don't touch, you know, then and Satan says you can be like the gods if you'll go ahead and disobey Yahweh and do what he tells you not to do. Go ahead and do it, and you can be like the gods. Well, of course, we're seeing this. I don't know if the Kohan read it this morning or not, but they in Canada, they've found some more mad cow disease. They find it ever so often there because I think they're testing it better than here. They've also found out that Alzheimer's disease is being listed as that when it's something else. I think I told you that. There was one doctor that made autopsies of several different, I think it was 13 cases of Alzheimer's deaths, and 6 out of the 13 was actually mad cow disease. Gasoline is going up, and also they told us that propane is going up again. Now you can do some saving here. Heating cold water in a hot water heater that goes, all the heat goes up through the ceiling, 98% of it, I think. If you'd shut that thing off, heat you a pan of water, like people did for 6,000 years. Believe it or not, this is a very new thing. These hot water heaters is a very new thing. For 6,000 years, man would heat his water in a pot, and then he would sponge bathe. And if he was blessed like we were in Oklahoma with a running water nearby, like New Walnut, which ran all the time, is clear, you could see the fish in it, and there we would go in a blute. that was on Friday evenings when we would go in a blute. But anyway, that's one way of saving your gas. Another way is wearing sweaters instead of turning on a gas heater. You might keep these in mind because they say there's no end in sight. Also, on your gasoline, you could plan your routes and your day so you won't be running back and forth like a nomad mad hen with her head picked off. and there's more bitter cold coming. You can rest assured of that. We've got more winter left, so be prepared. Keep the hothouses prepared, too. But be on time at the Sabbath with your appointment. Show Yahweh that you want to be here. Show him you want to be a blessing to others. And prepare on the sixth day to do so. Praise Yahweh. That preparation day, yes, it's to help you get ready to serve others. That's what it's for. To be a blessing on Yahweh's Sabbath as Yahweh was. Now that is righteousness. That's classified as righteousness. That's keeping one of Yahweh's laws. If you just think about it, the most important law in all the scriptures is to keep your Sabbath appointment with Yahweh. That way you can be taught, but act like you want to be. Satan's job is to pull people out of Yahweh's work. Now, if you'll just think about it, that's what her job was from the beginning. And this is the way Yahweh is testing you. And you've got to make up your mind when you come here, I'm going to endure. Whatever it takes, I want to be a part of that kingdom. And I'm going to endure until the end. Now, Yahweh put two trees before man. And this tree, of course, it has many branches. That is, Satan's tree has many branches. Yahweh's has seven branches. But Satan's tree is going to burn up, Yahweh says. If you'll get something in mind here, turn over to Malachi. I want to show you something here. And maybe you can get this picture in your mind that sits before Yahweh by the side of his throne, and he's ever mindful of it. Right now, Yahweh is rejoicing and Yahshua is rejoicing because of what he sees here in the house of Yahweh. And he sees his plan that's about to take place, about to be finished. Here in Malachi, the fourth chapter, he says, "Behold, the day comes that will burn like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly is merely letting Satan pull you out of the house of Yahweh and go to a branch off of this tree of righteousness and evil, which has many branches throughout the United States, and we're showed that over and over and over. The Savior said so many times himself. But notice, the wicked will be stubble. The day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, and will leave them neither root nor branch. Look closely at that. They won't have any roots left, so they won't come back. That tree will not come back from the roots. Every tree of Yahweh that Yahweh allowed Satan to destroy, beginning with Abel. Now, think of this. Think of how Satan hated the first work of Yahweh. And then Yahshua comes. He was rejected. Yahshua himself was rejected by all. And very few people followed him in the end at all. The message went out, but not from a work. The work continued, but there was very few at these helping the disciples to do the work that we hold before us here today. The rest of it was talk and people trying to do something, maybe one thing or two things, but this was... again, it wasn't complete like the true work that Yahweh has prophesied would be, a work that would bring people to perfection that Yahweh would choose as his family, his immediate, united, ever faithful family that he can trust in throughout all eternity to do what they're told. But notice, it will leave these neither root nor branch. Root or branch. Now, in Matithya, if you look there to chapter 7, the Savior comments on this tree. You have the tree of total righteousness in Genesis, and then you have a tree with many branches reaching throughout the world, and of course it hates the work, the works that Yahweh has prophesied and planned. But here the Savior said, first off in 13, he said, enter in the narrow way. Well, of course, that narrow way is through the prophecies, through the Scripture, and there's only one way to get there, and that's through the one sent. That's always pushed and always... a must. You must go there. You must do this. You must do that in order to be a part of Yahweh's family. This is true from the beginning. But look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you looking great, but they're ravenous wolves. Ravenous wolves. I'll show you from Scripture what they are. you will know them by their fruits. The fruits, they're not of the tree now that Yahweh prophesied. So they can't bring forth the fruits that Yahweh commands his tree to bring forth, which is total righteousness. Do men gather grapes of thorns, grapes from thorn trees, or figs from thistles? No, you can't. He's showing you it's impossible. Likewise, every righteous tree brings forth, that is, every prophesied work of the seven works brings forth righteousness. You can count on that. You can be a part of it. And this is what the Savior is saying to you. Because you have to go back and take all of his words, but that's what he's telling you here. Every righteous tree, that is every prophesied tree, I will have no others, remember? I will have no other work. But every prophesied tree is righteous. But a tree of evil brings forth iniquity. It's the mixture that we saw in the beginning, the mixture of righteousness and evil. A righteous tree cannot bring forth fruit of iniquity. That is, the prophesied plan work cannot bring forth fruits of iniquity. He's telling you this straight out. And that's the reason Yeshua said you've got to believe the prophets, every word they spoke. Nor can a tree of evil bring forth righteousness. It's impossible for them to do so because they're not Yahweh's prophesied work. Do you get that? Now notice. Remember, evil tree. Now notice, every tree. 19. Every tree which does not bring forth righteous fruits, which he says they can't, notice, is cut down and cast into the fire. It's cut down and cast into the fire. Now remember this, because there is one that can't be burned up. The fact that one refuses Yahweh's prophesied work, this shows rebellion. This shows rebellion. If he wants to go out and do this on his own, start a work on his own, which many have, this in itself proves he doesn't want to be a part of the prophesied work. It shows rebellion, and shows a non-repentant attitude, and it shows unbelief. It shows you all of these things if they don't want to go to the prophesied work. You know, even our enemies, they say, you know, that man is Yahweh's witness. There's no doubt about it. There's too many scriptures that says it. But Yahshua's warning is for the last days. His warning right here is for the last days. Satan's job, of course, is to pull people out of Yahweh's work. There's two works, and Satan's job has always been that very thing. Remember, she had Abel killed. That should prove to anyone she's not. Let's go back to Genesis. That should prove to anyone she has no righteous character, no righteous work. She's not a part of Yahweh's work. She's not. And she has works all over the world, branches that reach out everywhere. In Genesis 2 here, in Genesis 2 and verse 9, notice he put there the tree of life, and then he put there the tree of righteousness and evil, which, of course, is not life. If you hold your place right there and look over to Genesis 1 and verse 14, you will see the feast days there. 1 and verse 14 serve as signs to mark the feast for days and years. Well, of course, the Sabbath is one of those feasts. You see that? It's the last part of verse 14, feast. And then you got a footnote there that tells you what authoritative book shows this. And of course, this is what Satan's work tries to change. And Daniel said, prophesied that it would, that Yahweh would allow it to be knocked plumb out. But look now, go back to chapter 2 here and look at verse 15. Verse 15, remember what we saw from Yahshua. He says, Yahweh took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and care. The scepter Yeshua's righteous scepter, that's what it means, is work. It means work, be a part of the work. And as Yeshua said, this is the work of Yahweh. This is the work of Yahweh that you believe into the one sent. That's the work of Yahweh. The work of Satan is to believe in anybody that comes along that wants to pull you out of the work of Yahweh. But the work, care for, and I've been through that and showed you all the meanings of these Hebrew words here. And then verse 16, and Yahweh commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil you must not eat. In the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Now, of course, Satan takes this right here and tries to make out like the way it's translated into English, her branches that reach out through the world. She tries to make out like that Yahweh told a lie. They ate and they didn't die. But see, the Hebrew is different here. And if you know what I've, and remember all the things I've taught you about the microenzymes and the way the body is made and so forth, listen closely. On the very day, science knows this now, on the very day that you take a bite of pork, there was an article today showing the harm from the trichinosis and the tiny microorganisms in pork that you couldn't see them if there's 1,000 of them on a head of a needle. But on the day that that goes into your body, those things, your body is made up of cells, living cells. Dr. Pfizer invented a microscope not too many years ago. And that's when they first started seeing what was in. They could see a cell and they could actually see inside that cell. The cells in your body are microorganisms too. You couldn't see them unless they're stacked up in thousands or hundreds of thousands. But with a microscope like Dr. Pfizer invented, you can actually see that cell. And he actually proved that a cancer cell cannot enter a healthy cell. It's got to be depleted of salt before it can enter it. Well, of course, with trichina, it's a different thing. But we haven't even discovered all the harm that comes to the human body from eating pork. And of course, we haven't discovered all the things that are in the pork, weenies, or other things that we buy on the market. But the day you eat them, they start to living off of your cells inside your body. Microorganisms take a cell. They find them a cell that they can enter. It's like a room. They go in and start raising their family. The Hebrew says, dying, you will die. Now, the experts know this. There was no reason for them to translate it, on the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. They could have translated it properly, knowing that it will start to kill you. It will start killing cells in your body the very day, first day you eat it. Now, as you continue to eat it, or as you continue to do any sin, and this is what Adam and Eve did. Every day you partake of sin, it starts damaging your body more and more. And as it builds up, eventually it will take over the body, and then the body will get to where that it can't support life anymore. Dying, it dies. But from the very first day it starts. Just know that Yahweh is telling the truth, not Satan. Praise Yahweh. So he tells you, don't partake of this life. Come out from among them. Partake of this tree only, this one that Yahweh tells you to, but don't partake of the other. Now remember, she killed Abel. Remember that. So she's up to murder. And this is what we see in Revelations 9. Now, Yahweh says many others, but Yahweh only has these seven works that set before him night and day. Now, this seven lampstand, this is what Moshe was given to Moshe. This is the bush, the burning bush that will never go out. It has seven prophesied works. The western work will not go out. In fact, it will resurrect all the other branches, bring them back to life, where we will have a complete kingdom of Yahweh to work with throughout all eternity. The seven works, those are the burning bush that never goes out. Remember that. Keep it in mind forever. But many will come, Yahshua says, many are going to come in these last days. Speaking of the last days, they will come. Let's be turning over to Matthew 24. And don't forget what I just brought you now, because Yahweh has seven works and he'll have no other. That's the completion of his plan, and it will bring a completed family. A completed family that you can be a part of if you just repent and then endure in the house, in his house, until he comes. If you're out, you won't be part of it. Well, here in Matthew now, 24, he starts warning us about all these works of Satan. She has them in every field, and he even said that your father, your teacher, he said, your teacher is Satan, so you're going to do whatever she tells you to do. Look here at Matthew 24 and verse 5. He says, many will come against my authority. My authority? What's he speaking of there? Many is going to come against my authority. Look on over to verse 24. He says, for there will arise, speaking now of this last generation, there will arise false messiahs and false prophets, that is, proclaiming to be prophets of Yahweh, of course. Many of them won't even use the name. Some of them will, because they come up from Yahweh's own house, he said. For there will arise many messiahs and false prophets, many, many. There will arise false prophets, he said up here, many, many will come against my name. So you can put many right there. Messiahs and false prophets and will show signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. Every time I think about this right here, I think about 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, in verse 9, where Yahweh said there'd be a great falling away, and then as the man of sin is being revealed. And of course, we're revealing the man of sin now. Right now, there's only 17 countries that we're not revealing the man of sin in, but we're narrowing that down every day. Look on over to verse 29 now. Verse 29, he says, immediately but after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. We can see this about to take place right now. Then verse 30, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then will all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And notice verse 31 now, and he will send his messengers, that is, his prophesied messengers, he will have no other. Yahshua will take care of all of this through his house. He will send his prophesied messengers here with the authority. They will have the power and authority, yes, together, his elect, wherever they died, wherever they were buried, they will gather them together. Yes. He's going to send them with the last trumpeter. Now, I've brought you that many times before. The last trumpeter, you're sitting here right now. This is the last trumpeter right now as we speak. You can actually have that authority, the authority that Yahshua has already obtained, as shown in Yochanan, the 5th chapter, and you can have that power to actually gather these people together if you don't follow these many messiahs and false prophets, false teachers, that a false one is one that is not prophesied of one of the seven works, prophesied, not part of the burning bush, in other words, that he showed Moshe, that burning bush that sits right at the side of Yahweh's throne. There will be no other, he says, no other. He will work only with his messengers, the ones prophesied. And that's what he's building them for. If they're not a part of these seven works, they're not Yahweh's works. Even among your own selves, look on over to Acts 20, you should marvel in this, you know, knowing that you don't have to go anywhere else, knowing the hunting is over, we've found them. But here in Acts now, the 20th chapter, in verse 29, he says, "For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in." And here he goes with that grievous wolves again. Let's turn over to Proverbs 15:10. I want to show you what grievous wolves are. It means they have a grievance. And of course, instead of being punctual to be a blessing in Yahweh's house, on the called appointed times, they let roots of bitterness build up and they have a grievance. And this is what it's speaking of here. This is what you saw in the 12 tribes of Israel down through the centuries, starting with Samuel, when they came before Samuel and didn't want to be a part of this work of Yahweh any longer. So that started the profaneness that came out of Egypt, which was already there. Christianity was being worshipped in Egypt. In fact, 10 of the gods that they chose came from Egypt. They tried to put Yahweh's in with them, but it never did match. It condemned everything that they brought out of Egypt with them. And finally, they pushed Yahweh out totally. But here in Proverbs, Proverbs 15, and notice verse 10 first, he says, discipline is grievous. Well, that's what this word means. Grievous wolves will enter. To him who forsakes the way, a discipline is grievous to the one who forsakes Yahweh's way. Read it and know that this is where you stand if you forsake Yahweh's way. Once you're called, once you start this, he tells you, don't look back. Look into Yahweh's house. Be a part of this cell of Yahweh's house, this last day's work, this burning bush that never goes out, that sends before Yahweh day and night. It's before him always. When Yahshua is mentioned, the burning bush is mentioned with him in his throne in Revelation, right in front of him. He's not going to go different from this, not ever. 10, discipline is grievous to him who forsakes the way. He who rejects reproof will die. Look on down to verse 12. A scorner has no love for one who would reprove him. Now go back here to Acts again. Acts again, and notice verse 30. Also among your own. He's speaking of this tree, this branch that Satan has. Satan was there in the house saying to Abel, saying to Cain, saying to Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve, you know, this is the delightful way here. You know, the grass is greener over yonder. Come and us drink wine and be merry, and today will be like today, but much better. We'll have more fun tomorrow than today. But in actual fact, Yahweh set this time period that we're living in, this lifetime of mankind. He invented mankind. He created mankind, and he gave him so many years to train for his kingdom. And he says, don't partake of these trees over here. I'm going to have seven works right here. There'll be total righteousness. I'll bring you forth total righteousness from my teachers. That's what he promises. Total righteousness from my teachers. They will build my house. Every one of them did, and every one of them was condemned and persecuted, including the Savior, the Son of Yahweh. Today is no different. We're facing the same thing today that Abel did in his lifetime. And Yahweh allowed the first Abel to die to prove a point. He will not allow this Western light to go out. That's his promise. And as Yahshua said, I've been prepared. I have been prepared in advance to bring forth righteousness. I can't bring forth evil. That's what he tells you. This Western light is prepared to do this work. Also among your own selves will men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw out disciples after themselves. Showing, of course, the selfishness here. If it wasn't there, there'd be... Let's go back to Matthew 7 now again. If it wasn't there, they would be working in the house only, where Yahweh's prophesied work is. Here in chapter 7 now, in verse 13, he said, enter in through this straight and narrow gate. And then he tells you in verse 17, a righteous tree. Righteous tree is the one sent as Yochanan. Turn over there, Yochanan 6. Yochanan 6, this is a total work of Yahweh. You really need concentrate on what Yahshua is saying here, because he's trying to keep everyone from being deceived and to leave Yahweh's prophesied work, or to keep them from being drawn out. It's easy to come here. What's hard is staying, because you got people even from within trying to pull you out of the prophesied work. But here again now in 6:29, the one sent, the righteous tree that Yahweh says he sent, that will bring forth righteousness. You think Yahweh's lying? Satan would like for you to believe that Yahweh's lying, so you won't be a part of this last day's work that Yahweh's prophesied in advance what it will do. It's doing it. This is called the house of Yahweh, established in the chief of the nations even. That right there is a marvel in itself. There's many more. There's thousands, literally thousands of scriptures in this book that we hold called the Book of Yahweh, prophesying from Genesis to Revelations of this last tree of the burning bush that was given to Moshe. Well, here at 29, he says, Yahshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Yahweh. This is it. That you believe into him whom he has sent. This is the work. Now, if you will believe into this work, you will become a part of this work. And then the thing next, let's go over to Amos, Amosha. The next thing then is enduring. You know, come willing to face battles, willing to turn down temptation, willing to turn down lust. You know, it makes me think when we separated the men and women, even the American schools know that learning comes easier, there's less attraction, and so forth when the classes are separated. Men and women are separated, and this is going on more and more in America. There are those that are fighting it. But we had an elder leave because of that, because he was corrected a few times, and then he left. But, you know, that shows how easy a person can get pulled out of the work of Yahweh. But he's thrown away his chance now at salvation, of eternal life. But the work of Yahweh, he couldn't see the future of it. He couldn't see the deep part of this thing, that Yahweh has set glory abounding for those who will endure. And that was one of his tests, just one of the tests. There's many. But remember, Yahweh has come to test you. To test you. That's the reason you're here, so he can test you to see if you truly want to be a part of total righteousness or not. But here now in Amosha 3 and verse 7, he said, most assuredly, Yahweh will have no work other than that work that he has prophesied in advance by his servants the prophet. He showed Moshe the burning bush. He showed him and says, make a replica of this and keep it before you in the temple. And he showed him these prophecies because Moshe prophesied of us. And he prophesied of Yahshua and the work that Yahshua was doing. So did Abel. But he said, most assuredly, I will have no work other than this. Seven of them all together, represented right here in front of you, right here. And the Western one never goes out. And Moshe said, I want to go see this. I want to be a part of it. And he made up his mind to do so, and he went through many, many tests. Look at verse 8 now. He says, the lion has roared, and who will not fear? Father Yahweh has spoken, but who can prophesy? Who can prophesy? Well, he tells you who can prophesy in the last day. Who can? Who can? Go over to Isaiah 44, and he tells you here, this is all on the two witnesses now. I haven't got off of the two witnesses and won't for quite some time. It leads up to our Savior being tied in these last days to the four horns of the altar. That's we should get to that long about Passover, I think. We're running out of time. If I don't do it, it'll be in the kingdom. So rest assured, I will get to it. But Isaiah now, 44. Well, here is your answer if you are not a fool and will believe all that the prophets have spoken, as the Savior said in Luke 24:25. He says right here in Isaiah 44, verse 7, and who as I will foretell and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things which are coming, he appointed these himself. That seven-lamp lampstand is his total works. Sitting there in front of him in Revelations and with Yahshua right now. It's part of his work. And will come, the things which will come, and will come, let them, that is, two brothers, foretell them. Here lately, we've had someone in this last generation. In fact, many, I think the first years of by going out trying to find the work of Yahweh. I think it was Herbert Armstrong and Ted Armstrong who were the two witnesses, they said. And then after that, it was somebody else, but they didn't even know about these scriptures that showed that these guys must be brothers. And as they show you here. Well, he says, let them foretell them. Do not be afraid. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you? Now, this would show you that there's going to be fear arising right here, if you'll look closely. This doesn't just involve a person. It involves a work, the work of Yahweh, the work, the seventh work in these last days. And there's fear, and there's frustrations. We have people that's applied for visas to get here many, many times. They take their money and tell them no. Now, this is the evil that's going on in today's world. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and have declared you are my witnesses? Is there any source of power except me? No, he's telling you he's in charge. He's the one that's testing you. He only allows Satan to go a certain way in order to test you and try you to see what you're capable of. That's what he's showing you here. Can you believe that? There is no other power over you except Yahweh. That's it, brethren. This is Yahweh's inspired prophet here that spoke of the two witnesses, and you sitting in here in front of the witness at this time, this man prophesied of you. Yes, to be a part of this work. Not to tear it down, but to build it, as the apostle said. Now, why would you not want to be a part of that? Part of the one and only prophesied work. Why would there be false teachers when they could be part of this work of Yahweh that is prophesied? This is what Acts said. He said the inspired answer to this question right here. It's in Acts there. They're grievous. They got a grievance, and they do not want to partake of instruction or correction. They got a grievance, and they want to hang on to that grievance. Let's go back to Acts again. I want to show you one more thing there in Acts 20, because this is a prophecy here that in the last days this is going to take place. Remember what Proverbs showed. But Acts 20 and verse 30, he said, also among your own selves will men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw out disciples after themselves. That's what it's for. Well, of course, this is the work of Satan, anything to get you out of the house. Look on over to Romans, the 8th chapter. Remember what he said there in Acts. And look at Romans 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. It can't be a part of this work. As Yahshua said, it cannot bring forth righteousness. They draw away people from Yahweh's house. There's no doubting where his house is. The prophecy shows over and over in many thousands of scriptures showing it. But the falling away, that's falling down and away from Yahweh's house. A falling away after themselves, a following, to draw a following after themselves. Now remember, Yahshua said they would come against his authority. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis, against his authority. Yahshua said he, in Yochanan 5, that he had now been given that authority. Well, here he says in Matthew 24:5. That many will come against my authority. If you go over to the prophet's writing in Genesis 49, In the last days, you see Yeshua's authority here, that he says that is prophesied for him to have, and that's what we're sitting in right now because he's the high priest over this house. Genesis 49:1 shows, the last two words there show, this is a prophecy for the last days. Got that? Genesis 49:1. This is a prophecy for the last day. If you go down to verse 10, you see the prophecy of Yeshua. The scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff, that is a lawgiver, from between his feet, until he comes to whom tribute belongs. This word tribute here actually means labor, labor. The Hebrew word says forced labor, but Yeshua said, and Yahweh said, you must choose to labor in this work. But it's labor, tribute belongs. It also means a levy or tax or tithe to be brought, like bringing your tithe to Yahweh's house, as he said. That's as much a command as going to his house. You got to bring your tithe to the house. And then another part of the command is rejoice in doing this. Then that is counted to you as righteousness when you can do all of this stuff. Come to the house, find the house, seek Yahweh's kingdom, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Deuteronomy 12 says, seek his house, seek the habitation of Yahweh. There bring your tithe and offerings. That's a command to bring your tithe and offerings to Yahweh's work. That's how he judges you. You can't make the work of Yahweh collapse by stealing from it. You know, Yahweh has set this in motion. But you can be a part of the support of that, which proves where your heart is. If a person, Yeshua said, if a person's heart is not right, he says, and this is what you can judge them on, is their tithing. If their heart is not in Yahweh's work, it's because Satan has it trapped into her work. That's part of it. You can't be a part of it without that other part of that command. Seek the house, but there bring your tithe and offerings, and there rejoice. Rejoice. Don't come there to gripe and murmur. Watch your step. Don't let your mouth condemn your body. Come there and set your mind on rejoicing every Sabbath day, because Yahweh is watching. He says he is. He's watching you right now. He says, my eyes and heart is there with you right now. Well, from between his feet until he comes to whom tribute belongs. That is Yeshua. And the obedience of the nations. It actually belongs to Yeshua right now. And those 2 billion people are actually going to be obedient, as it shows. And then he shows how the work will be, gives the command to Yeshua to tie the donkey to the last branch, the branch of the burning bush. There's 7 of them. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's what sets before Yahweh's throne. The western light never goes out. If you studied or remember the studies that we brought to you, you'll know that they were required to keep that western light burning. And then they would take from it and light the others each time the others went out. The other 6 would go out. That was a prophecy also, brother. We are the western light. The western light that never goes out. Thithering the donkey to the vine, and the donkey's colts to the choice branch. The choice branch, or the ending one, you remember in Revelations, The ending one, when the seventh messenger, remember, I will send my messengers. Well, when the seventh one speaks, this plan of Yahweh, of this seven works that he's got, complete. Seven is complete. And that's what it shows you in Revelation. You got to remember some of these. I can't go back and rehearse them all, but you got to remember them. But the branch and the choice branch is already recorded for you. It's already on tape. You can get it. It's already in the book of Israel also available to you. I'd recommend that you get those lessons. Call, write, email, whatever you want to do. Anyone can claim, brethren, that they're a false, that they're a Messiah, that they are Yahshua. They can take the name Yahshua, but that doesn't mean anything. They can put any name on themselves that they want, but unless they live it, you know, that doesn't make any difference. But Yahweh's prophesied, foretold work is done in advance. It's done by the prophets. You can't do it over. You can't say, well, this is a prophecy I'm going to give. No, he's the one that said it. It was set way back in Adam's day. Yes, he set it before him, those feasts that he set there. That's part of that first light that came to mankind. We are the last light that won't go out. Now, remember, show their works. Yahweh said, you see them by their works. It must be established in the last generation. All the things, all the churches, all the religious organizations that were established in the last 2,000 years before this, they are false. They're not of the work of Yahweh at all. They must be brothers, and in fact, they must be brothers from the same father. Yahweh even goes deeper than that. It's that they have the same father, Yahweh shows, and they also have the same mother. These two witnesses do. Bring that about in your mind when you want to call yourself the Savior or the witness. They must have the same mother and the same father. That's shown in Scripture. The second witness must be named originally by Yahweh himself from the bowels of his mother. Yes, bring that one about in your life. These are things that are prophesied of the two witnesses. So a child of his mother had to name this witness. And not only did he have to name him, if you remember Elder Yehuda's sermon, the great Elder Yehuda's sermon, he brought out he had to name him Buffalo Bill Hawkins. He had to. There was no choice. How are you going to bring that one about? Go back and reborn. You'd have to. They had to be trained in the Scriptures. One of them had to leave and go east. That was a prophecy of him, that he would leave and go east. Under duress, he had to be call himself Jacob. That was a prophecy of Jacob. Under duress, that had to take place for him to ever take that name. That was Yahweh's doing, brother, and you know the details of it. We have it on tape. He had to offer Yahweh's work there. He had to offer it to them. That was part of the prophecy concerning him, and we'll get to all of this in detail again, but I've got it on tape already. He had to return to Texas, and the two of them, that is both witnesses of them, had to dedicate and establish the house of Yahweh in the chief of the nations. That was all done. It had to be done. It was prophesied. And we didn't do it because we was trying to fulfill this prophecy. We didn't even know about these prophecies. In fact, many of them, but when they were fulfilled. He had to have this Jacob, he had to have a house. It was called the house of Jacob. He had to have the house of Jacob. But now that's not all. That house had to be filled with customs from the East. Now, if you know anything about what I'm talking about, you know that this house means people, like it does you. The house of Yahweh, the house of Israel, means people. It means you sitting here. And these people were filled with customs from the East. That's a prophecy in the Holy Scriptures concerning the witness Yaakov. That was Yaakov. The other had to separate from him. That's another prophecy. For you to be one of the witnesses, you have to fulfill these prophecies. If you were going to be the Savior, you're going to have to go back and ride a donkey into into Jerusalem. Two of them. You got to ride both of them. Those were the witnesses that he is riding right now. Okay? To the other now, not Yaakov, but to the other had to separate from him because that house was filled with customs from the East. That's what the prophecy says. Well, my time is up, and I'm back to where we were about last week, but anyway, we'll get to it next week, Yahweh willing. And the four horns of the altar, we're going to get to that. Look forward to Passover. Listen, Passover is not very far. It's really close, and you need to start planning. Now, I want you to get selfishness out of your mind and start planning to be a blessing to others on this coming Passover for 7 days to be a blessing to others. The way you do that is get involved in the work. We have work for everyone. And you can be a part of that work. You can be a part of your work through the tithe, through the offerings, but you can be a big part of it if you will rejoice. Rejoice. When you rejoice, you make others rejoice. There was an incident this morning when we had a car breakdown in town, and I was trying to get help for the people. And one of the cooks called me, and she was all excited about this meal today. Well, I was frustrated at the time because I was trying to get a person out here. And I could notice the change in her voice when she could tell I was frustrated. And I said, oh, man, I've done the wrong thing here. So anyway, I went ahead and I got the people out here, got the car started and got everybody out here through the help, of course, of the people who, because we have people that we can call and they're Johnny on the spot. I don't care if you call them at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. They offer their services 24 hours a day, not 8 to 5. But anyway, I quickly called them back and I said, what was that you were saying about that wonderful meal? I want to hear it. Come on. Well, anyway, it helps you. It will help you. It will help others when they see you're rejoicing. Now, you don't have to be delightful, but if you will start forcing it, you can find the delight in Yahweh's house. You can find it in His Sabbaths and in Yahweh. I can tell you for sure, brother, and it's not in booze. It's not in alcohol. praise Yahweh. You can have worries and you can start drinking and over drinking and get drunk as a skunk. Them worries are still going to be there when you sober up. Your headache will be there to plus. So this makes it doubly worse. But if you will if you will do what Yahweh says, come, bring your tithe, your offerings, and your labor. The labor belongs to Yahshua. That's His scepter right now. Your labor belongs to Him. Not somewhere else, but in this last burning lamp of the burning bush, the 7-lamp lampstand that's going to burn forever. you can be a part of it and you can receive that power, and all the glory that you never dreamed of is going to be yours forever. All this other, Yeshua says, will be added unto you if you will seek his kingdom first. The way you seek it is doing what he says humbly. Humbly doing what he said. Now, if you set your mind to this rejoicing, making the Sabbath a delight, you'll make it a delight for me as well as yourself. And we'll both be joyous together. I love you.